Thanks for joining us today. Our church exists to give everyone, everywhere, every reason to know Jesus. You can learn more by connecting with us on Facebook at Journey Fellowship Denton. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
I want you to take your Bibles with me, turn to Hebrews chapter 12, and then you can turn also over to Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. We're going to go there very quickly as well. But as we begin today, I just want you to know that you're here today because God wants you to encounter Him. We've already felt His presence. We've already seen God move upon us. But it's a determination that I want you to set in your mind that when you come to church, that you come to encounter God, not just to hear about God. So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it's a theme verse that we've been reading over the last several weeks, almost all summer. And it says this. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, we're being watched by so many people, not just on earth, but in heaven as well. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Let us run our race. How do you want to run your race? You want to finish your race? Come on, say amen. Amen. Father, I pray that you'd bless your word today, that you would use it, Lord, for your glory. Lord, I pray that you would instill in us, Lord God, the truth that you want us to discover, and that we would not leave this place the same. Lord, we would leave here knowing that we have been in your presence, that we have encountered the Almighty God today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you, Leslie. So last week, Chris talked about Elisha, or he spoke and how the discussion of how God wants us to encounter him. God wants us to be used by him. He wants us to serve him. This week, I want to talk about another great, one of the greatest of all times. I want to talk about the prophet Isaiah. Now, Isaiah wrote the longest book in the prophets section of the scripture than any other prophet. His time frame was around 2 Kings chapter 20, if you want to go back and get the context of where and when he lived. But Isaiah was unique in that this is something that happened to him. He had an incredible encounter with God in such a way that Isaiah actually saw details of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ 800 years before it even happened. Now, in order for that to occur, you have to have an encounter with God. Come on, somebody. If you're going to see 800 years into the future, it is going to be a God thing. It's not because you just woke up or you had some bad pizza and had some kind of dream. It was an impactful thing that happened in the prophet's life. And Isaiah, as the prophet, spoke to the people of his day who could not see that far. And that's what a prophet does. A prophet comes to help us to see more clearly. And my hope today for you is that everyone who is in this room today would be able to see your spiritual journey with God a little clearer. I want you to see more clearly today than you did yesterday. Because as Isaiah shows us in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, the first verse I want to read, it's kind of a theme verse for Isaiah. It kind of points us to the kind of person that he was and what he thought about God. Look at it in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. It says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, whether your life is going this way and you're having some struggles, whether walking through a difficult time, whether you're climbing the mountain, whether you're having some challenges in your life, or whether you're going down the highway at 70 miles an hour on smooth pavement and life is just cruising by, whether you're on the right, whether you go to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you. It doesn't matter which area you find yourself, what road you might be on today. If you will listen closely, God wants to speak to you. No matter what you thought when you came in here, no matter the thoughts that you have had since you have been in this service today, God wants to speak to you. Look at your neighbor and say, God wants to speak to you. Tell him. God wants to speak to you. And here's the thing. He will speak to all of us if we will just listen. Listen to the voice that's behind you, because this is what the voice is going to say. Look at the last part of that scripture. This is the way. God's going to show you. He's going to say, hey, look, I know where your life, you're kind of on a couple of different roads. You're not sure exactly where your life is heading or what's going to come. And the Lord is going to speak to you. He say, this is the way. This is how you walk. This is where you need to go. This is who you need to see. This is what you need to do. This is the way. So it doesn't matter. If you've not encountered God, you should encounter Him. And a lot of people that don't encounter God, here's the problem, and I'm going to show you in the Scripture in just a moment. The problem is that we sometimes walk through life with our fingers in our ears, doing our own thing, and we don't hear the voice of God even when He's clearly speaking behind us. Because if you've got your fingers in your ear and you're not looking behind you, how do you hear somebody that's talking and speaking behind you? No. Because we try to do life sometimes like this. We're going to do it our way. Or we pay attention to other voices, kind of like the lady who went to the store and she bought this expensive, extravagant dress. And she came home and she told her husband, she said, honey, I got a beautiful dress. Look at this. And what's the first question that every husband asked his wife? How much? That's exactly right, you ladies got. How much did that cost? And she showed him the price tag, and he said, my goodness. He said, the devil must have made you buy that dress. Why didn't you tell the devil to get behind you? Like Peter said, get behind me, Satan. Well, she said, I did tell the devil to get behind me, and he said it looked as good back there as it did in the front. You got to listen to the right voices. But we don't listen because sometimes we just have our fingers in our ears. But here's the question that I believe Isaiah would answer. If Isaiah were to come out of the stands today, that crowd of witnesses that's watching us in heavens, and they're paying attention to what we're doing, if he were to come out of the stands, and if he were to walk a mile or so with us, here is what I believe Isaiah would say. This is the question that I believe Isaiah would try to answer, and this is what it is. He would say this: when you're trying to make sense out of life, know this, that an encounter with God changes everything. When life is trying, you just don't know how to figure things out. When you can't figure life out, when questions just keep coming after another and you can't seem to solve anything, Isaiah says this: an encounter with God will change everything. Amen. So you're here today and you've encountered this church, you've encountered other Christians, you've encountered worship, but I'm kind of like a tour guide. My goal is not up here to try to get you to become a partner or a member of this church. My goal is to try to get you to have an encounter with the Almighty God. We've already begun that journey of having that encounter. But just don't let it stop. Don't let it stop. Because an encounter with God, as Isaiah is going to teach us in Isaiah chapter 6, if you want to flip over there, an encounter with God is when you understand, number one, that our greatest pain can be a catalyst to our greatest gain. That first point. Our greatest pain can be a catalyst to our greatest gain. How do you have an encounter with God? Well, you first need to understand this principle. The greatest pain in your life could be a catalyst for your greatest gain with God. Why? Because God reserves those times of challenge, of difficulty, of pain, of loss in our life. God many times reserves those moments in our life to speak to us, because He gets our attention. And He says, I want to have an encounter with you. Here's the problem. Most people in the process of pain, their reaction is to run away from God rather than run to God. They run away. They get away. They think that he's lost control, that he doesn't know what he's doing, and they run away from God. They get mad at God. They want him to not mess with them anymore instead of running to God. You have to run to him in those moments of pain. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, the scripture says this. Isaiah has this moment, and he says, in the year that King Uzziah died. Let me just stop right there, because most of the time we would look at this scripture and we'd move right on past that. But if you don't understand that first, those first few lines, that sentence, you don't catch the whole thing. Who was King Uzziah? When was this year? What year is he talking about? King Uzziah was a young king. He was a teenage king when he became the king of Israel. He ruled and reigned for 52 years. And in the midst of those 52 years, he brought the nation of Israel back up off of its knees, out of idolatry and out of deplorable sinful conditions. And Uzziah began to change the whole scope of the nation of Israel. And what he really did, the most important thing, is Uzziah sowed hope. He brought hope back to the people. People were living without hope. And Uzziah said, you know what, we can make some changes. We can be the people that God wants us to be. And the Bible says that as long as Uzziah sought the Lord, as long as he obeyed God, the nation of Israel prospered and was successful. Uzziah had changed the whole environment of an entire nation. And Isaiah, the prophet, was a part of that whole process. It was a great time to be a part of the nation of Israel. It was a prosperous time. It was a fun time. It was all great. But then all of a sudden, in the year that Uzziah died, some of you know what that year was. Because in your own life, it was that year that he walked out on me. It was the year that I sat in the doctor's office, and I remember when the doctor looked at me in the face and he said, "You have cancer." It was that year. It was the year that my son was in that accident. That was the year. It was tough. It was a challenging year. It was difficult on me. My heart was broken. I felt like I walked around with my inside just on the outside. It was a terrible year. It was a difficult year. It was trying. I spent most of my nights, my pillow soaked with my own tears. It was that year. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was that year. All of us have had those years. You know what that feels like when you have incredible loss, when everything is going great, and then all of a sudden the wheels come off and your life just seems like it's just broken down and pieces flying all over the place. And you just, it's all you can do to go to work and hold a straight face and work for 8 hours before you just have to get out of there and go back home to yourself so that you can just break down in your own way. It was that year. It was the year that King Uzziah died, but he didn't stop there. Look what he says. It was that year that I saw the Lord. It was in that year of great pain. It was in the year of struggle. It was in the year of crisis. It was in the year that I could not make sense of life. That was the year that I saw the Lord. Come on, somebody. You got to help me preach this morning. It's in those desperate times. Isaiah said, I was in the middle of watching hope dashed and fade away. That was the year that I saw the Lord, that I saw Him. He changed my life forever. It was the year that I felt tremendous pain, but I saw a tremendous gain in my life, because he says it was the year that Uzziah died. I saw the Lord seated on a throne. Hallelujah. He was still in charge. He was still the one who was over everything. He was still in control, just like what Sister Summer said. He's still the God that's still on the throne today. Doesn't matter what year you're, maybe this is your year. Maybe this has been your week, but I want you to know if you have an encounter with God, what you're going to see is you're going to see Him high and lifted up, seated upon the throne. And as He goes on, He says, in the train of His robe, fill the entire temple. The glory of God is still there. He's still ruling. He's still in charge. He's still watching over your life this morning. Your greatest pain can be your greatest gain. Can propel you to grow beyond you what you could ever think that you could. It's during the darkest times of life that you don't need to run from God, that you need to run to Him. You have a moment. Some of you have been struggling. You're hurting. You're broken. You're still dealing with pain in your life. Make this a moment where you can encounter God. 10 years ago, I got a phone call from a dear friend of mine. He's a college roommate. He called me up. He said, "Man, I need you." I said, "Okay, where are you?" He said, I'm heading to Baylor Hospital downtown, big Baylor. He said, "Can you meet me there?" I said, "What's going on?" He said, "They've care flighted Laura." I said, "What's happened to her?" He said, "We don't know, but," he said, "it's bad." So I drive as fast as I can. Before they had express lanes, I was express lane all the way to Dallas. I get down there and I walk into an emergency room, waiting area. I see the hollow eyes of my friend, one of the closest friends that I've got. He stood up, he walked at me, and we both embraced. He said, "I'm so glad you came." I let him go, and I saw, and I looked there next to him, was two young boys, 11 years old and 9 years old. Their faces were red as their hair. Both of them are redheaded. Their faces were just as red as their hair. You could tell that they'd been crying. I asked John, I said, "John, what's going on?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "She just collapsed." 35-year-old mom of two just collapses. Goes unconscious. They take her to Baylor Hospital. For 3 weeks, she was in Baylor Hospital, just kind of give and take. She'd improve, then she'd go bad, and we just continued to pray. I made several trips back and forth to Baylor, just being there with my friend. After 3 weeks, doctors came in, said, "There's nothing we can do." And that evening, Laura lost her fight, and she went to be with Jesus. And what she left was one of my closest friends standing in that waiting room in that hospital, who is now a single dad, a pastor, trying to raise two young boys on his own. His life was changed. It was that year. And I could ask him, I could say, "Hey, do you remember?" He'd say, "I can remember everything about it. That was the year my life changed." But instead of running away from God and getting mad, and this is what he could have said. He said, "God, I'm a pastor. I'm trying to serve people. I've sacrificed for you. I've given up myself for you. I've done all that I could just because you've called me to do it. Why would you allow this to happen to me?" Instead of asking all those questions, he said, "Still, I know God is faithful. He's got something better." He didn't turn away from God. He moved back to Houston, be closer to family, went on staff at another church. A few years go by, and a missionary comes through, and the missionary just happens to have a daughter that's his age, that's not married. And as God would have it, she looked, it's really kind of weird, but she looked almost just like John's wife, Laura. So long story short, they end up getting married. And I see his life just begin to flower and blossom all over again. Things begin to just grow, and he's just excited and happy and thrilled. And it's just amazing just to see God restore all of that in his life. And before you know it, I get another phone call. He said, "Hey, man, I need you." It's like, "What's going on?" He said, "I'll tell you when you get here." 6 years after he lost his wife, I sit down in front of him on a table, or at a table. And he said, I've been diagnosed with an incurable disease. One of the symptoms is Parkinson's. It's all kinds of genetic thing. He said, my life expectancy is 2 years. The last 4 years, he's been alive. He's continued to serve God. He's tried to preach out of a wheelchair. He's preached leaning up on a chair. He's preached on his pulpit as much as he possibly could, dealing with all the adverse effects of that disease. But what I'm saying to you is he is still moving closer to the Lord. He did not allow his pain to drive him away. He said, God, I can lose everything, but I will still serve you. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. My friends, listen. You can be just like that. You don't have to allow pain to destroy your faith in God and all that He can do. Your pain could be the catalyst of greatest gain. And that's what Isaiah says. He says, look, that year was the year Uzziah died, but I saw the Lord and He changed me forever. The second thing I want you to see is that when you see God clearly, as Isaiah did, you see yourselves clearly. When we see God clearly, we see ourselves clearly. Because when God begins to encounter you, when you encounter God, guess what? He doesn't play in the kiddie pool. He doesn't play in the shallow end of the pool. He goes to the deep end. Because in the deep end is where we try to bury all of our hurts and pains and secrets and everything that nobody knows about. God goes there. Let me tell you, the place that you don't want to go, that's where God's going to go. He's going to go there. The conversation that you are afraid to have with your spouse, God's going to go there. The thing that you have in your life that's still operating in your life that you're embarrassed about and you wouldn't want anybody to know about, God's going to go there. He's going to go there because when you encounter God, you will have to encounter you. He's going to take a look at who you are. He wants you to see your own condition. He will go there. Yesterday, it was fun. Several of our guys, we meet on Saturdays, the first and third Saturday, right over here at McDonald's just for a cup of coffee. And you know, guys are kind of funny because if guys sit down to talk, you have to get past the weather first, okay? Then you have to get past the Dallas Cowboys or any other NFL team. And then you get to the question, well, how are you doing? And most of the time, you know, with a guy, it takes a few times to ask because the first response is going to be, well, how are you doing? He said, I'm pretty good. No, really, how are you? Oh, I'm pretty good, man. Really? And then you ask the next guy, well, how are you doing? Oh, I'm pretty good, too. We're all just pretty good, you know? But once you get past the pretty goods, you finally get to talk about real life. And you get guys, men, start really sharing what's going on and who they are. And what you begin to hear is you begin to hear men saying, you know what? I'm not perfect, but I've come a long way. I'm moving down the road a little bit. Because whenever you have an encounter with God, it exposes really who you are. It's like taking your clothes off before God. He sees everything. He knows what's going on. And here's what I want you to realize, is that life is filled with a lot of difficult decisions. And one of the most difficult decisions you will ever have to make is to deal with your own issues. Come on, somebody. I'm telling the truth. One of the most difficult decisions you will ever have to decide is, am I going to deal with my own issues? Am I going to deal with that unforgiveness? Am I going to deal with that pain that happened to me a long time? Am I going to deal with the problems that keep surfacing in my life? Am I going to deal with that? And when you see God clearly, when you have an encounter with God, you will be able to see yourself clearly. Isaiah teaches us that. And then he also shows us that when God removes our past, he begins to redeem our future. You see, he moves you through all that pain and he lets you see who you are. And then he removes our past from us. Some of you are still stuck in where you were. Some of you are still stuck where you were the day that you got saved because you haven't let God do away with your past yet. You're still trying to live that old life. You're still trying to be the old person. But until you let go of yesterday, God can't give you tomorrow because you can't have too much in your own hands. If you're trying to drag yesterday, you'll never advance into tomorrow. You'll never be able to take it. Because some of us have the wrong picture of God. Some of you grew up in churches where the only thing that you were told is what was constantly wrong with you. But you were never told that there is a potential for you to be a world changer and to change a generation. You were just told that you were qualified, and you were reminded of that over and over and over again until you didn't think that you were worth much. Just try to stay saved and sneak through the gates of heaven. Hopefully I can get there. It's kind of like the guy that I invited to church. I said, man, why don't you ever come to church? He said, well, if I want to hear all the bad stuff about me. I said, what are you talking about? He said, if I want to hear all the bad stuff about me, I'd just take my wife out to lunch. And I said, wait, no. I said, this ain't marriage counseling. I mean, sometimes that's what we hear. Let me tell you something. God wants to remove you from your past. Here's a great thing. I want you to catch this. Note taker. God doesn't want to have a conversation about your past. He wants to settle your past. He doesn't want to keep talking about that. Come on, somebody. I get so tired of people that the only conversation they have is what God did 14 years ago. What's God doing for you today? Where are you today? He settled that yesterday. Get back into today and let's go for tomorrow. Look what Isaiah says. He says in verse 6, he says, then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs of the altar. And when it reached my mouth, and he reached my mouth, and he said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for. Past tense. Some of us need to change our glasses because we still see life through the lenses of yesterday. We have to see that our sin has been atoned for. Once you have decided to follow Jesus, sing that song, I have decided, no turning back, no turning back, no turning back, no turning back. It's settled, it's over, I'm moving forward, not going back. In verse 8 he says, and then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? And I said, here I am. Send me. And I see that and I think, you know what? Here's the uniqueness about this. When God looked at Isaiah, he didn't see a criminal with unclean lips. He saw a candidate for the work of God. When God looks at you, he doesn't look at your failures and say, man, I don't know if I can shape this guy. I don't know if I can help this lady to even do anything. I mean, look at her sordid past. Look at where she has been. Look at how many times she has failed and walked away. God doesn't see all those things. What he sees is he sees a candidate that it will just step up and say, you know what, here I am, Lord. If you can use me, then I know that I can do something for you because you in me is a majority. God wants to remove your past. So I want you to encounter God, like Isaiah said. Don't run from him, run to him. Be truthful about yourself with God. Let him settle his yesterday and give you purpose for tomorrow. So Isaiah teaches us these things. And as Isaiah walks with us, I just think that if he was going to walk with us, he'd leave us with a few final words. And I want to give you those few final words of what Isaiah would tell us as he went back into the stands of the great cloud of witnesses. The first thing I think that Isaiah would tell us is this. God wants to reveal more of himself to you. If Isaiah put his arm around your shoulder, he'd probably say this. This is just the beginning. God wants to reveal so much more to you. Because God never does less, he always does more. He never does less, he always does more. And so if you attend church and church starts getting a little bit boring, and when I open the scripture and you say, oh, I've been there, done that, read this verse before. Some of you have been in church long enough, you've heard most of the Bible preached in your lifetime. And so that you go to the verse, I don't even need to turn there. I got that memorized. I don't even need to go there. If it gets old and stale, let me give you the words that Isaiah would give you. In Isaiah 55, verse 6, he says this, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Because let me tell you, you can seek God out all of your life and there will still be room to seek. You can call on God today, but tomorrow you can still call on him because there's going to be something that he's going to tell you that you didn't hear today. Keep pursuing. And I love how Jeremiah the prophet follows up Isaiah's words. He says this in Jeremiah 29, 13. You will seek me and find me when what? When you seek me with all your heart. Seek the Lord with all your heart because God wants to reveal more of himself to you, not less. And here's the key to encountering God. You have to do this. Here's the key. You have to go all in. You have to push everything to the center of the table. You have to put all of it, your life, everything in. Some of you are trying to control your spiritual journey and saying, okay, God, I'm going to give you just a little bit. So God's trying to give you the direction and you're yanking on the reins. Seth and I were out riding and saw we were horseback this week. We had a little train wreck. Seth, what's it feel like to get kicked by a horse? Not good. Seth got kicked in the leg. We've got one horse, and he's a little hard-headed. And when you try to put the bit in his mouth, he'll just smile at you. So what he'll do, he'll pull his gums out. You can pull his gums out, and he just... And so you got a steel bit just coming right on his teeth. And just two or three times, and he just look at you. You're not going in my mouth. You kind of have to talk him into it. You just say the word oats, and he opens up, is big. But when you put that bit in his mouth, it's funny, he'll chew on that thing. He'll start chewing on that bit. And you can take the reins from that bridle and you can start trying to lead him. And at first, what he will do is he'll pull back. He'll do this number. But if you've got those reins in your hand and you turn around and look at him and you pull a little bit like that, he realizes, oh, you're in charge now. And an animal that outweighs me five times, I can control because I put that bit in his mouth. But what happens in our life is we try to do this. We try to pull our head and we try to control the reins instead of letting God lead us because he leads us in paths of righteousness. He leads us to the bucket of oil. He leads us to blessings. But what we think is, oh, we got to go this way. And we bounce our head and we pull and we tug. God wants to take you to greater things. He wants you to take you to bigger things. Some of you are just so scared of what God is going to do in your life. Listen to me. Some of you are scared. You've got a little taste of God, but you're scared to go any further because you're afraid it might take you somewhere you've never been. Well, of course, that's the point. I've seen some of you worship God, and I've seen it get to your big toe, but it hadn't worked its way all the way up yet. You know, we're out there worshiping, some of them, we're clapping, you know, we're pretty loose, and I see some of you like this. Look around, we're worshiping the Lord. God forbid if anybody saw if you really begin to worship the Lord, what would happen? Let me tell you something, experiencing God like we've experienced, it's not something to be endured, it's something to be enjoyed. It's an enjoyable thing to worship God. Because if you want what you've never had, listen to me. If you want what you've never had, you're going to have to do what you've never done. You're going to have to be willing to do and go where you've never been. If you want to discover something new, you have to go into new territory that you've never been, that you're not used to. And I've seen some of your responses in worship. I've seen some of you. You know, I mean, this is a hand-raising church. Okay, it is. We're a clapping church. You know, you might see a little bit of You might see a little sway every once in a while, you know. And I've seen some of you, you know, we'll be in the middle of worship. I'll be looking out here, you know, we worship God. and you'll do a one-hander. You shoot your hand up, you know. Oh, that was good. That's good. It's good. Good. I want to show you something that's really kind of funny about people worshiping God. Kind of a little take on churches kind of like ours. And not everybody came from the same tradition, I understand that. And when you come to church, it's a little bit unique. But I want to show you just a real quick clip of a guy that I love. He's just amazing. Kind of explain this whole deal of raising hands and worshiping God. Let's go ahead and take a look at this real quick.
Totally cool. But hey, if you're not used to going to a hand-raising church, you want to go and join us, feel free to join us, but don't feel like you got to join right in, okay? Start slow. We got a lot of different hand raises that we use. We actually have names for our hand raises. So I'm going to walk you through real quick, okay, what they are, just to let you know. Say you're my church, music is rocking. Start slow. Hands in the pockets, little elbow flap. You're fine. Very subtle. Get warmed up. Get your heart rate up. When you're warmed up, start with the first one. Ready? Carry the TV. Carry the TV. That's our first one. Very subtle. Go to big screen. Big screen, a little wider. Next one's my fish was this big. My fish was this big. If you're a liar, you can go out there. That's fine. Don't worry about it. Jesus loves you. Grace. Next one's hold my baby. Hold my baby. Got dueling light bulbs. That's our next one, dueling light bulbs. We got goalpost. Everybody knows goalpost. Throw in a heartburn. A lot of people like to do heartburn. Double heartburn, right back to goalpost. What's my favorite? Mufasa. Mufasa, that's my favorite. The circle of life. Tim, can you go higher? Yes, you can. You can take one hand, go a bunch of different stuff. Pointer, hatchet, schoolroom. Release the doves, give the Lord a high five. Press it out. A lot of women like to wash the window. Wash the window. And when you're comfortable there, go for the big three. Village people, Rocky touchdown. There you go.
Let me tell you something. Some of you will thank me if you will ever just allow yourself to go all in. I'm telling you. You will thank me for encouraging you just to go in. Just to go a little bit further, because God has so much more. If you just let go of yourself and begin to worship God and forget about everybody around you and you being some tough guy or some lady that's very refined, just worship God. Because if you refuse to go all in, you'll never experience what God wants for you. Amen. I mean, we're just doing what the Bible tells us to do. Sing unto the Lord. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Lift your hands in the sanctuary. Praise Him in the dance. And your dancing's much better than Chris's on the update, I promise. Go to a new level in your journey. Just go all in for God and you'll find more. Secondly, Isaiah would say this, God wants to change you. You see, God loves you where you are. We sang about it all morning. God loves you where you are, but He loves you too much to leave you there. He won't leave you where He finds you. Thank God. He didn't say, man, I love you, Scott. Back when I was lost, He didn't say, Scott, man, I love you. Well, have a good day. He didn't leave me where He found me. He found me and He said, come on, I've got something much better for you. Your life is nothing compared to what I want to do. So you have to stay pliable. You have to stay bendable. Isaiah says in verse 1, he says, Isaiah 1:18, he says, let us reason together. I want you to think about this, Scott. Think about it. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are as crimson, they shall be like wool. Verse 19, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. God can change your life, your family. He can change your attitude. You don't have to live that way. You don't have to live in a home that's contentious and filled with hate and hurtful words all the time. It doesn't have to be that way. God can change you. You don't have to have that negative, pessimistic attitude that nothing is going to get better, and you just suck the joy out of the room of everybody whenever you walk in. You don't have to be that way. God can change you if you encounter Him. So all you have to do, you say, well, how do I do that? How does God change me? Just take the next step. That's as easy as it gets. What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, if you're lost today and you don't know Jesus, the next step is just get saved. That's easy. How does a baby learn to walk? By baby steps. So I'm already saved, Pastor. Now what do? Well, you need to be baptized in water. Why do I need to do that, Pastor? So everybody knows what has happened on the inside is now displayed on the outside. I'm not the same person I used to be. Well, Pastor, I've been saved for a while. I'm baptized. Well, now what's left? Oh, my friend, you're just getting started. I'm saved. I've been baptized in water. I'm living for God. Well, what's the next step? I want to be used by God. Then get filled with the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit come upon you and not just let you be indwell in you and cleanse you from your sin and be the person who is on the inside, but let Him anoint you and fill you and give you gifts that you can use, that God can begin to change this timid, shy person into someone who is bold as a lion and begin to speak things that you don't even think about. That's the filling and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You receive a prayer language that can touch heaven before you even have to turn your mind on. That's not what I'm talking about. Just the next step. I've been coming to church here for a long time, Pastor. What's the next step? Get involved. Do something. Because you're no more like Jesus than when you're serving other people. You want to be like Jesus? Serve somebody. Serve somebody that can't serve you back. Help children to come to know Jesus. All of those things are parts of how God changes. And then finally, I just want to wrap up with this. God has an assignment for you, for every one of you. He's got a purpose for you. Why does God have an encounter with us in the first place? It's because of this. Hear me. Listen. You have been, and you always will be, a part of His plan. There's no mistake that you just happened to be here. I thought about this morning on my way to church. I thought about some of you that I have known for a number of years since we moved to Denton 10 years ago. I thought about some of you of when I met some of you. And I thought, God, it's just amazing how it's kind of like you've stitched this quilt together of people that have just kind of attached to one another to form this body of believers. And before 10 years ago, none of this crowd, almost very few of this crowd, all kind of ran in the same pack. But God, you have allowed us to encounter you, and now you've helped us to find a purpose. Because in Isaiah 60, here's what he closes with this. I won't close. He says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness for the people, but the Lord rises upon you." Not generically, not generally. The Lord rises upon you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and His glory appears over you, and you, and you, and you, after you've had that encounter with God. And here's the great part. Nations will come to your light. Kings to the brightness of your dawn. People are going to see your life, and they will be changed by your life, by the encounter that you had with God. People's lives will be changed because of your encounter with God. God has a plan for you, and He's working it out. You just need to continue to encounter Him, to pursue more in Him, to let Him change you so that He can use you, because people are waiting for you to have an encounter with God so that they can see your light and they can have their own encounter. I'm convinced that there's people in this city who are waiting for the folks of Journey Fellowship to have such an encounter with God that the light would shine so bright that it could not be missed by anybody around. The light attracts those who are lost. And that light comes as we encounter the Lord. Let me just say this. Don't stop short. Don't stop short. Don't stop pursuing God. Don't stop seeking. There's always more to find. Let God change you. Let God use you, because He wants to change the lives of people around you that you probably haven't even met yet. Let God change you.
Thanks for listening to this message. If you were blessed by this ministry, we want to encourage you to share it. And if you don't have a church home, come join us any Sunday at 10:30.